Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
God, I'm so excited.
New president.
We have to get back to a great country.
And new news.
When it's new,
I hear it on the sky first.
This year, open up your shiny brand news day.
We made history for a reason.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, my friends. Fourth and final hour of our get-together. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. There you go. Hopefully everybody feels a little bit better. It is 9:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The big headline was going to be ceasefire, but that is still kind of in play. Bibi Netanyahu said, no, Hamas is trying to change a deal at the last moment. So we'll dig into that a little bit further coming up. But right now, a special guest in the studio, the new sheriff in Alachua County, Sheriff Chad Scott. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for coming in and getting on the hot seat, especially after I came off a great rant just a little while ago. I don't know if you caught it at all. I said, Greg, I'm pro-cop just like you. Just not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we yeah. talked about, you know, traffic enforcement and stuff like that. I'm not trying to say it's not important. My pet peeve was, and I live in Clay County, you'd have deputies all around this little bridge going through town on a Saturday or Sunday morning when I could tell you there's nothing going on. Meanwhile, you got meth heads a mile down the road, you know, wreaking havoc. So anyway, that was my example. But welcome, Sheriff. It's good to have you in here. Alachua County sheriff's deputies, everybody that works for you, the jail. I mean, you've got a lot under your command, and there's been leadership changes. You know, Clovis stepped down, and then you know, we had a great former Emery Ganey who came in, and he's, you know, helped out in Marion County, and that regular election, and you win. So there's been leadership changes at the top, and as an employee myself, not for you, but just in general, uncertainty, that's how we feel. Like when leadership changes, there's always an air of uncertainty. How do you address it when you have so many men and women who have to work under you?
Well, I've been a chief, so I understand people. So people know my leadership style. They saw what I did in Alachua and also at the Alachua County Sheriff's Office. I came in under Clovis Watson as a major and got promoted to colonel. So I already know the people there, and they know me. So there's really shouldn't be any uncertainty about me because my style is already out there of how I treat people and how I communicate with people.
So a lot of the folks are already familiar kind of with the way you do things.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the reason I ask is because obviously morale is important when you're dealing with law enforcement folks. And also... it is so hard to recruit and retain these days. What kind of challenge has that been to you since you came in?
Well, I think people have to know, basically, if they trust you, they have to know that you care about them first. I mean, you can, it's kind of like a dad, you know, you can give your kids a whole bunch of money, but if they don't know you care about them, then you're going to have morale problems. So I think, first of all, for me, I want to get them to understand that, you know, nobody's coming from the outside. The people that's with me, they're coming in, they already work there. You know, so we're going to focus on the morale that way. And then the wages come later, you know, but I think if we convince them and let them know and have them understand that we care about you as people. So,
well, and being, you know, folks in law enforcement are always worried, like, does the boss have my back?
Right.
Because you're out there and, you know, there's so many legal issues these days and, you get, you know, one bad apple and all of a sudden, you know, the public's idea of law enforcement changes and they, you know, they're against you one day. Hopefully, you know, everybody's coming back and understands how important law and order and law enforcement is. But they need to know that you've got their back, right?
Right. I mean, if you... I've worked every aspect of law enforcement. I've worked in special operations, school resource, detective. I've done just about all of it. So I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. So I can communicate with these guys, and I know where they're coming from. So I know how to attract that.
So if the speed limit is 45 and you catch me, what's the fastest I can go without getting a ticket?
1 mile over.
That's special, just for
really?
You, Bob. That's just for you, Bob.
Oh, you're, a letter of the law guy. Not the spirit of the law, the letter of the law. Wow, that's tough. I appreciate that. So overall, like your goals, your mission, what's your vision for Alachua County Sheriff's Office moving forward?
Just really focusing on the people, making sure that people understand that we're there to keep the community safe. You know, that my mission is to continue to focus on gun violence, you know, the abuse of opioids, mental health issues, and expanding victim services for domestic violence victims. You know, I want them to understand that we have empathy for all people, you know, and.
You watch any of those TV shows like, 2020 and those ones that go on these murder things and all that? So many of them start with domestic issues and spiral from there. And unfortunately, in so many of those cases, it ends up with, the one being beat on generally at the end, there's a homicide.
Right.
So, yeah, you want to deal with those issues and nip it in the bud, so to speak, and take care of domestic victims, domestic violence victims before it gets to that point. Right. When you were campaigning around Alachua County, what are some of the big concerns that the citizens have in the county? What do you think they are asking for in terms of safety, law enforcement, protection, et cetera?
I think they really just want to make sure that their neighborhoods are safe. From campaigning and doing the grassroots, the main thing that they really focused on from every community that was the same was presence. They want to see law enforcement in their community.
And you know what? I believe that really does make a difference. And that's why, I'm not talking about your agency or your office per se, but so many of them now are going with these really stealth-type vehicles. And there is a time and a place when those can be utilized as a great law enforcement tool.
Right.
But to play that sneaky card where, well, if you want people to slow down, you just park on the side of the road, and I guarantee you people will slow down.
Right.
But not if you're being all sneaky and, you can't see the lights are all underneath. I mean, what's your kind of take on all that?
Yeah, I like that in special vehicles, mm-hmm. But as far as the community, I like the MARC unit.
Yeah, we're out here.
Yeah.
We're out here.
Yeah.
Better watch your step.
I like the MARC unit because that's what deters criminal activity. And the citizens know that.
Yeah.
And that gets to, priorities. Look, you've got a huge budget, but it doesn't matter. It's divided up in so many ways. And so you're limited on your resources and you have to prioritize.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you kind of go about that in layman's terms? I mean, I'm no expert. I'm just wondering, so like, how do you know how many people to put in, say, traffic patrol, and do the hours vary based on how busy it is on the roads versus investigative work? To me, really is one of the most critical aspects. I mean, you want to close cases.
Yeah.
You want to close them and win them, right? You want to get the bad guys.
Right now, I mean, staffing is poor, of course. So, but we're going to focus on wherever the hot areas are. We're going to probably put more deputies in that area, or we're going to focus on that area. It just depends. It just depends on, what's going on.
Okay.
But we try to, evenly spread deputies out in all the areas. But if something is going on more so in this area than other areas, of course, we're going to show more of a presence in that area.
How do you measure success? Look, we're more like insider-ish, especially Greg has some training, and we've got friends in law enforcement. So I think we think about it more than the average citizen. The average citizen, quite frankly, knows you're the sheriff, but probably doesn't know a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So how do you measure success? Is it, how many, you know, serious crimes that you closed on. You got the bad guys. How do you measure it? I know there's accreditation process is one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's simple. To me, how I measure success is really based on the mood of citizens. You know, like in Alachua, all the time you get people that comes up and tell you, say, hey, thank you for what you do.
Well, those are probably fans of mine that express that because I tell them to appreciate law enforcement and members of our military to step up and not be shy.
Really, really. Yeah, I mean, because numbers can be skewed. I mean, mm-hmm. you can play with numbers. But to me, it's more so that word of mouth in different areas that, hey, I thank you guys for what you do and the things that you're doing out there in the community. And,
fentanyl problem. Bad, getting worse, or maybe you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. There's going to be a turn here. It's going to get better. What are your thoughts on that one? Because it's number one killer of people 18 to 45 now.
Well, it appears to be getting better. You know, I'm not hearing about the deaths as much as I used to, or I'm not. It just seems like it's getting a little better.
Well, that's good. That's good news. Sheriff, it was great to have you in here. I hope this isn't just a first-time thing. Hope we get to see you on a regular basis. I know you can't be everywhere all the time. You are one of your great representatives.
Yeah.
We look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right,
and
Sheriff.
If y'all could check the window tint on Bob's car before you leave, we'd really appreciate that.
God, you bring the tinted window car
today. Oh, man, so close.
No,
so close.
I'm clean today, Greg. Yeah, I made sure.
I made sure
when the sheriff was coming in. Get my ducks in a row. Thank you again, Sheriff. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Sheriff Chad Scott on the Bob Rose Show. And coming up, we've got plenty to talk about, including what is going on in Israel right now. News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
The Sean Hannity Show.
We know everybody on fake news CNN hates Trump.
Afternoons at 3.
Yet one thing they've not been able to accomplish, separating Donald Trump from the base that no other political candidate has.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
9:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning. And it is so far.
It really is.
Yeah.
Is that sun going to come out? Because that's kind of what I'm always looking for.
Yeah, probably later in the I'm thinking lunchtime or so. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we still got the clouds. The rain's kind of rolling through. Again, be careful. Slow down, all that good stuff. And make it a safe drive. But yeah, we are going to see some sunshine and some maybe 61, 62 later today.
Bibi Netanyahu accuses Hamas of trying to back out of the ceasefire deal. I mean, I think a lot of us went to bed last night thinking that, wow, there's some good things, and looks like it's a done deal. It's just a matter of, you know, how many people they're going to get back, hostages exchanging for prisoners, etc. I'm not a fan of dealing with terrorists, but you've got to be sensitive to the human lives that are on the line. And if it's your family members are being held hostage, you'd be like, I don't know, we can play politics on this one because, you know, that's their loved ones we're talking about. And there's some Americans involved as well. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation to begin with, obviously. But I just feel like this is not going to be the end, even if, as we're speaking right now, that Netanyahu and his cabinet are maybe signing off on some sort of an agreement.
Right.
I just, unfortunately, because, well, I've been on this planet for a few decades, and since I've been following this kind of thing, it never really goes away. It's, I don't know how you changing hearts and minds is as difficult as we found out after dealing with Iraq. Remember that? We're going to change hearts and minds.
Right.
We're going to offer up the Middle Eastern version of the American dream. You know, you're going to have freedom and you're going to have political adversaries, but you don't need to kill each other. And we thought once people get a taste of freedom, that will override the instincts for hate, basically, and acting on that hate. Well, we found out we're wrong.
Well, look how many times we would come in. We would get air quotes here. We'd get rid of the bad guy.
Yeah.
And basically, we realized it was that bad guy keeping all the factions from killing each other. Somebody else would come in, or somebody weaker, or no one would come in. And then we're dealing with a whole bunch of new issues. We've been raised generationally in our freedom mentality. They've spent tens of thousands of years not in that mentality. And we can't just make them realize, hey, we've got something better. They've got their way of life.
Long before America was America, they had their dug-in cultural biases. And
they're not going to go away just because we offered you freedom. So,
but you know,
it's sad.
And again, it also, while we know this is difficult to deal with these issues, at the same time, this is one of the reasons why we believe in American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Because look what we've overcome in really very short years in terms of ages of cultures and countries. I mean, we're still the babies.
Yeah.
But we're exceptional, and here's why. We were a melting pot. Okay, but what did we share? We shared this thing we call, you know, an idea. And the idea is based on self-rule, self-government, freedom and opportunity. That, you know, hey, in, you know, a lot of European countries, you're working someone else's land. That's your job. You're never going to be a landowner. You know why? You get the wrong last name. But we didn't do that in America. That helped to change the game. And then people could find out what they had in common versus what made them different. So we had those ideas about freedom and prosperity. We had all those ideas. That's why people took a chance. Think about it. You're going to get on a ship. And you're going to go across the ocean. And these are people, in a lot of cases, who've never been more than 10 miles from their hometown their whole lives. And they get on a boat? Because of the idea, the thought, the perception of freedom, of owning a piece of property, and all those other motivating things. So anybody who does not appreciate America's exceptionalism, they're just not on my team. And we just went through, you know, 4 years in the White House, and those people who really, I don't think, appreciate America's exceptionalism. I know they don't. They don't behave as such.
No.
If you thought America was such a great and exceptional place, you wouldn't allow your citizens to be overrun by not just illegal aliens, but illegals that clearly, you know, that they're criminals, or they're bringing drugs across, or they're into human smuggling, or they're bringing fentanyl, or they're just your run-of-the-mill murderers, rapists, and thieves.
Yep.
You can't love America and allow that to happen to American citizens. You can't have it both ways. Davis, Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines, and Shep, you're on the air.
Well, a couple of examples, gentlemen. Hatred has been ingrained for centuries. I can give you two examples of trying to change minds didn't work. When Richard Nixon went to Red China, the idea was to open up China, introduce capitalism to China, and they would abandon their communist ways when they see how great capitalism is. And for a short time, it worked. They freed up, you know, that you could have businesses and own private property and all that. But eventually, basically, they decided to use capitalist methods to advance their communist agenda. And another example, my own family. Growing up Jewish, people in my family firmly believe that all Germans, even the ones born and raised in the United States, they believe all Germans were genetically predisposed to hate Jews. Okay? But one more thing. I have no doubt that eventually this hullabaloo in Israel might end up being another, ended up coming out of another Jewish holiday. Because the theme of every Jewish holiday is exactly the same. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. See you later, guys.
That's all right.
Well done as usual, Shep. Always a pleasure, my friend. Be safe on the highways and byways. It's 9:28 right now. The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally download a podcast. You can also utilize the Audacy app, AUDACY. Simply click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of The Bob Rose Show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, things that make you smile, some upbeat positive thoughts we'll be looking for. More headlines, news of the day. We'll cover all that next on 97.3 The Sky.
Inauguration Day.
He made history.
Trump.
On day one, I will terminate every single open border policy.
A historic new America.
Drill, baby, drill.
Happens on the sky.
And we will immediately begin a brand new Trump economic boom.
A new way.
Great country with low taxes and strong military.
This.
We have a window of opportunity.
Is.
And we've got to be ready to govern.
It.
And we've got to be ready to lead.
News Talk 97.3.
We're going to turn this country around so fast.
The sky.
The sky.
Clarity.
We have to follow the facts where it may lead.
Credibility.
News of the day.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
We made history.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Hey, my buddy John Roman, the unofficial mayor of Lake Weir,
yep,
texted me and said it's Mob Barker Day.
Really?
On Lake Weir.
I had no idea. Well, now we know.
For those people that aren't familiar with Ma Barker, wow, it's a great history lesson, I guess, in some ways.
Well, there are, in fact, because we've talked about it on the show over the years, there are actually a few folks that are in Florida that do some great YouTube videos on the history of the house and the shootings and everything that goes along with that. You can kind of get some cool insight on the historical perspective on that.
Ma Barker was born in Missouri. You know where all those outlaw type people come from? Yeah.
Well, we had our share, you know, Jesse James, et cetera. You know.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, this story isn't as sexy as, say, Bonnie and Clyde, but they were real outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Let there be no doubt about it. So it was Kate Barker was her name, but yeah, they called her Ma Barker, mother of several of these criminals, the Barker Carpus Gang. This was during the Public Enemy era.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, the press liked to follow these stories.
Oh, yeah.
The people, mm-hmm. I mean, look, a lot of this stuff happened, you know, during the Depression and things like that. So, like, robbing a bank, you know, there were a lot of Americans that felt like, well, yeah, some of those banks robbed from us, mm-hmm. theoretically.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
It was an interesting mentality.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the whole, so it's where the phrase comes from, public enemy number one. You know, we had that, and they had the posters and the proverbial posters at the post office kind of routine. So, yeah.
So, it is real. The stories are real. It is real history. And when they were finally, when she was finally killed, it was, I think to date, at least at that time, the largest shootout ever involving the FBI, and this was right down the road in Ocklawaha,
yep,
Marion County, on the banks of Lake Weir. Now, the house, we call it the Ma Barker house, but they never owned it.
Right.
They actually rented it when they came down from up north. They were hiding out. That's what they were doing. They were hiding out.
Mm-hmm.
What a great place to hide out, right? But the FBI, they did what they are supposed to do, investigate. They intercepted a letter from one of the relatives that talked about Alligator Joe.
Oh.
I'm thinking, I wonder what that's code for. Who's Alligator Joe?
Mm-hmm.
So they went poking around, asking questions of the locals,
yes,
and somebody said, well, you boys from the FBI ain't all that smart, are you? The Alligator Joe is an alligator.
Yeah, he really was.
You're like, what? Yeah, we've been trying to catch him around these parts for a long time. But they knew they were onto something because there was an Alligator Joe. It just wasn't a criminal
person,
bad guy or a person.
Right. Yep. And, of course, the house is not where it used to be. But that's,
yeah, they moved it, gosh, I want to say 10 years ago, and I'm taking a stab at that. Yeah. And they floated it across Lake Weir, kind of to the other side of the lake. And so it's at the park now. And I want to say you can go visit it. I'm not 100% sure. You might have. Just call in advance. And because that home, they sold the property, and
right,
the owners agreed to, you know, leave the home intact. Still got the bullet holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real deal. I remember my friend Larry taking me around there because we would hunt Ocala National Forest. I bought my first shotgun at the Kmart in Bellevue. And so we would go, you know, round town, whatever. And he goes, oh, yeah, Ma Barker, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it rings a bell, but I don't really Then I read up on this story. Wow. Gotcha. It's like right here. Long story short, if you're new to the area, it is like a great story. It's ones you could tell when friends or family come to visit. You can show them, you know, the house, and you could find where where it was originally on the lake. I don't know if you can. They probably built a huge house there now. They paid a lot of money for that property. But it's a beautiful lake. I mean, Lake Weir is nice. Anyway, so long story short, my friend John wanted to remind me that it's Ma Barker Day down at the lake.
There you go.
I said, are you going to bring Tommy? Think about the gangsters, the era. Thompson is his full name. Well, we just call him Tommy.
I thought you meant Tommy. I'm thinking, who's Tommy Barker?
Tommy, can you hear me? No, it wasn't
Tommy.
A Who song.
Yes.
Tommy? Tommy.
Well, I think, you know, it is maybe a good day to, you know, get out and go to the range and shoot a little bit in commemoration. Enjoy the holiday that we're
And if you can afford a real Tommy gun, you're doing aight. You're doing aight.
I got friends. I got friends that have one.
I have friends, too.
Then they have one.
I got friends, too.
They can afford them.
I got to be some friends, too, Greg.
Yes.
Oh, my Eagles. That's how my mom would say it. The Eagles. Philadelphia. Look, I've been in every city and every stadium, but I've been to Philadelphia a lot. Us sports fans, you don't want to be rooting for the other team. I mean, I'm serious. It's not a joke. I think I told you the story about years ago, my sister was living in Philadelphia. She was working for an insurance company downtown. And she's coming home for Christmas. Well, it just so happened that the Bucks were in the playoffs against the Eagles. Yeah, we're going back some years now.
Okay.
So as a birthday present, I got her tickets and a Bucks jersey.
Oh.
And she goes, yeah, you know, my boyfriend is a huge Eagles fan. There's no way I can wear this shirt. And I said, well, that's part of the deal. If the Bucks win, you have to wear it on the plane back.
Oh.
And that's when the fight started. So her current husband of 40 years can... You're welcome, Gene. Or, sorry, Gene, it's all my fault.
Yeah.
Depending on what's going on any particular day.
It's all
day.
About perspective. Yeah.
But the Eagles fans are for real. And when I say for real, I mean some are a little over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles fan Ryan Caldwell's life is going from bad to worse. He's an Eagles fan who verbally abused a female Green Bay Packers fan Sunday at what they call the Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles play. Now, they won 22-10, and the interaction was caught apparently on a video by the woman's fiance, Alex Bassara, who is an internet content creator.
Oh, okay, that's not good. Now I see why this did what it did.
Before attending the game, Bassara set up a GoFundMe account asking people to send him to Philly. So he did kind of, he was at the game as sort of a stunt, calling it the belly of the beast. You know, you're a Packers fan, you're going to go there, like being a Cowboys fan and trying to get a you don't do that. Anyway, he talked about being a Packers fan who was born and raised in Pennsylvania initially, and about having his cheesehead hat ripped off and thrown into a fire bin while supporting his team in Philadelphia. And the 43-second video shows the Eagles fan leaning down to yell an inaudible statement at Bassara's fiance, who was wearing Packers gear. After an in-stadium announcement about the result of the official's review, Bassara told the Eagles fan not to describe his fiance as a dumb blank.
That's not nice.
Which he then, of course, has to repeat to her.
Right.
Well, you know, it went online. That's what this guy does.
Yeah.
And Eagles Director of Security, Dom DeSandro, he reportedly was able to identify this guy, Caldwell, and that resulted in him being banned forever.
Wow, they don't take that.
Banned forever.
That's serious.
That is harsh.
It is, but, you know,
he must have said something really nasty. I didn't see the video. I don't know what he said, but, I mean, I can use my imagination, and based on some interactions with, you know, my cousins and other folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, don't be nasty to other people because they're rooting for another team. At the end of the day, You think you've changed anything? All you've done was made an enemy of a person or hurt them verbally. So at the end of the game, do you ever watch what the players do? They're shaking hands and talking about their college days and where they're going to have a steak dinner tonight on opposite teams. So why would you take it so seriously as a fan? Root for your team. Hoot and holler. Go team, go. But just to be really rude and nasty to someone because they're wearing a jersey from the other team. You can do better than that, Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. Hopefully my cousins will not be tuning in for the podcast.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you would normally download your podcast, including the Odyssey app. Just click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Hey, how's old Mad Cow doing? I'm sorry, Rachel Maddow.
Maddow,
how's she doing?
Oh, she's awful.
On Wednesday night, she discussed the president's farewell address. She said, I had wondered, heading into the speech, whether he was going to try to give some sort of warning to the country when we had some advice, basically planning advice, that the speech might not be very long. And when we saw the White House today release what they called a letter, but what was really a 100-plus page long book explaining his view of his own accomplishments during this term, I had wondered, okay, well, they're not taking a lot of time in this speech. They have spelled out, you know, the list of accomplishments, so maybe the speech is going to be for something else. Maybe it's going to be a warning. I did not expect it to be this stark. He just said tonight there is an oligarchy taking shape in America, a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. A tech industrial complex.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember the warning about the military-industrial complex?
Yeah.
The tech industrial complex.
But who were all these guys backing over the last 4 years?
Some of the same guys.
Yeah. And who were they backing then? Joe Biden. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Really?
Wow. Unreal. I mean, rich people voting Democrat? Fine. Rich people voting Republican?
Oh.
Oh, how dare you? So it's cool. You can become an oligarchy.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, switching sides. Or I shouldn't even say switching sides. Just being open.
Yeah.
To maybe some opposing viewpoints.
You mean reasonable?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean.
The R word.
Yeah. Yeah. I took Joe Biden's warning very seriously.
Yeah. Come on.
This is a guy who picked Kamala. Of anybody he could have picked, he picked Kamala to be his VP.
Yeah.
Things That Make You Smile is coming up next. All right, call in now, 877-975-9825. Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Same location as Dr. Larson was and same great care. Call now, 877-975-9825.
I'm not here to be best friends with these people. I'm a taxpayer, damn it.
10 p.m. nights.
I want a return on the investment of the money that was stolen from me and sanctioned by calling it tax.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Oh, it makes me smile that we are so blessed. Another day in paradise, my friends. Live it up.
And so close to Friday.
And love it up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to be a... Don't be.
One of those.
I have to self-edit.
And I appreciate that because then I don't have to help as much.
Yeah, and I get to keep my job, which
that's very important.
Definitely makes me smile.
Yes, it does.
Because it is time for Things That Make You Smile. Upbeat Positive Thoughts used to be brought to us by Robin Larson Dental, but Robin has retired and turned it over to a fantastic dentist. Her name is Dr. Samantha Annis. She has treated me several times and has done a fantastic job. So from now on, Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Same location, same great care. Ready? 877-975-9825. It's upbeat, positive thoughts. No politics. You can do it. Things that make you smile. Let's go to Two Stroke. What's making you smile?
Hey, my roommate passed away last Thursday, and James Healy was 88-year-old veteran. Passed away last Thursday. It makes me smile. He's in heaven now.
There you go. Makes you smile that he lived that long of a life, served his country, and he's in heaven now, out of pain. And absolutely. Let's go to Pete. What's making you smile?
That story you told about the Ma Barker and her gang, that was really interesting. And I wanted to add something about that. There's a theory that's going around that if they had gone to a big city someplace, you know, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, whatever, they wouldn't have got caught either at all or not so fast. But they went to this little tiny little hick town where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's business. And so they were sticking out like a sore thumb. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, you can hide in the masses. Kelly, what's making you smile?
This is Kelly from Prohibition Pizza, and we have something huge to smile about, and thank you for taking my call. We just got recognized as top 10 places to watch for pizza today in a national publication.
Wow.
The little town of High Springs Pizzeria is doing big things, Bob.
Wow, your signal's not that great, but this comes on the day when Prohibition
yes.
started, in this day in 1919. So
wow.
Good for you, Prohibition Pizza.
There you go.
In High Springs. Can we get Jeff?
She talks fast.
What's making you smile?
Hey, this is completely hypothetical, but a gun shop run by women in lingerie. God bless America.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
I have to admit, it did kind of make me smile.
Yeah.
Because I'm a happy guy.
Again, theoretically.
You're trying to get us in trouble now.
He is.
All right. Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
This is Sky News.
For the nomination of Pam Bondi.
We have got to work together to make America safe again.
Trending stories.
Marco Rubio, the State Department.
And why they matter.
Strong America engaged in the world to promote peace abroad and security and prosperity here at home.
North Central Florida's news station.
News that so many people have been waiting months.
A ceasefire deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas.
Hostages will begin to return home.
On air and everywhere on the Odyssey app. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. In an interview with The Washington Post, Joe Biden spoke about how the Bidens and the Pelosis have been friends for years, adding that Pelosi's role in pushing Joe to exit the presidential race had been in our mind a lot lately. Pelosi's role in pushing him out came after a terrible debate performance against President-elect Donald Trump on June 27th. And that's when they really made the push. Jill said, "We were friends for 50 years," went on to say, "It was disappointing." Yeah, Jill. And then there's people with real problems. So today, The Smoking Gun is three words. Get over it. And that's your Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.